Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Mike Clemens, our green and gold football reporter. Mike, that foghorn, I love the conversation that Matt LaFleur started with it, saying, hey, man, when I was in Atlanta, they were playing here for the NFC title game, and we had to go to a silent count because the fans were so loud. I want that every single game.
Yeah, I've been covering Packer games almost as long as Matt LaFleur's been on the earth. You know what gets the Packer fans going to Lambeau Field? Touchdowns.
That is a good
touchdowns.
One. Yeah, they like hearing bang on the drum more than the foghorn.
Try touchdowns.
Mike, so today you see more and more additions. In the last week, you've seen more additions to that backfield, the tailback spot, and also the fullback role.
You know, it's really interesting. The Packers had to jump and get a fullback. Now, Malcolm Johnson is one of the candidates at fullback. And you know, even though Danny Vitale has flashed a lot in camp, They don't want to forget Malcolm Johnson. They say he's done some good things, too. He's got a groin injury, which seems to be a little bit more serious. Danny Vitale has got this calf injury. But I saw Danny, getting undressed in the locker room, taking off the pads, laughing, joking. I mean, I don't think his calf injury is that serious. I know those things can be nagging for a couple of weeks, but I think that that's more of a precautionary thing. Nevertheless, they require a fullback so much in this offense that they went out and signed a 29-year-old guy who played out his contract with the Jaguars and was about in the process of moving from Florida, this Tommy Bohannon, who had played for Nathaniel Hackett before Nathaniel got launched last year from the Jaguars. So, you know, we asked him today how familiar he is with the Packers playbook.
You know, I got the playbook yesterday, and I went back to the hotel room, and I was able to kind of look through all the run game things and the pass game things, and I was able to relate a lot of it to offenses that I've been in previously. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to learn on the fly, and you have to be a quick learner in the NFL the way that it is now. I played for Coach Hackett before, and the fullback was a main portion of his offense as well. So knowing that and coming in here, I know that the fullback is definitely going to be used, and it's going to be a focal point in the offense. And, you know, I pride myself on my lead blocking and being able to catch out of the backfield, so I'm definitely excited to be here.
And I thought Brian Gutekunst was pretty candid today when he said, you know, as a GM, my coach says, I got to have a fullback, man. And he said, there's not a lot of fullbacks in camps around the league. There's not a lot of guys to pick from.
Right.
And so, you know, you're looking at the guys, the way you've rated these guys, you watch tape on them, and obviously being familiar with Nathaniel Hackett's stuff, helped this Tommy Bohannon guy get picked up. But you know, that's what's interesting is that, you know, LaFleur's like, no, I need this 22 personnel with two backs, one of them being a fullback who you don't know if he's going to block, you don't know if he's going to go out for a pass, and you got two tight ends, and that's what I'm basing first and second down on.
We talk about that cornerback position right now, and with King obviously being dinged up like always, who does this open up the door for?
Well, Tony Brown's the man right now. Honest to God, you know, and I told you guys this last week, and then today Aaron Rodgers went off on Tony Brown talking about this guy is for real, man. He gets in here, he's the first one in, and he's the last one out, and he's not just hanging out, he's working. He's looking at tape, he's in the weight room, and he's got a lot of hustle. It's funny, I don't think his 40 time is that fast at all, and I was talking to some, you know, veteran guys over the weekend about it, and they were kind of surprised, but they keep putting it, and they go, Penn will often go with six defensive backs. You know, he'll have Jair and Tremont, and then this Tony Brown, and then Raven Green, maybe he's like a hybrid safety, and then you got Adrian Amos, and then this Latrell Jamerson from the Badgers, number 21. He's been getting a lot of snaps because they're slowly bringing in Darnell Savage, the first-round pick. But they'll put those six guys, and then that means you got a five-man package up front. And Rodgers today said, man, when you got the two Smiths, Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark, that's a handful when you're talking about trying to figure out what your pass protection is going to be.
Let me ask you a little bit about Aaron Jones. How did he look today?
But good. But they're not. I don't guess they're not going to run him in the game.
Okay.
And he was running sprints along the sideline. He ran about 10 40, 50-yard gassers on Saturday. And, you know, and it was kind of fun in that way because it was right in front of us, Gary, you know, where we stand right there on the sideline. And you could really see just how much speed that guy's got. I mean, you know, the whoosh when he goes by. So, you know, give it another week, and he should be okay maybe for the next game against the Raiders.
Mike, I don't have a question. I don't have a question. I just have a comment. Your one-on-ones, okay? Now, I'm not just saying it. I'm a little biased. Whatever. However people want to take it. Your one-on-ones are the best I've ever heard. And I think guys like talking to you. And you get stuff out of them that they normally don't get out of the media. And it's amazing what you can learn. And I like the fact that you're there seeing these guys every day. And you don't get a lot of credit for it. And I'm surprised by that because you just do such good work up there. But the one-on-ones, I bet you I have 10 one-on-ones from you, and I've learned some from each one of these guys that I probably wouldn't have learned, and that's a tribute to you asking not only good questions, but that means a guy feels comfortable talking to you especially. But I do want to mention one thing. Gutekunst said the 30 to 53 guys – that's going to go down to the wire, to the last preseason game. Were you surprised by that comment? Or it's a little bit, you know, kind of open competition with some of these guys we saw in the first preseason game.
No, and that's got to do, I think, with the new coaching staff. And, let's take Lane Taylor.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah.
You don't have a job. Who are you? Dude, you know, when we say you got to hustle the line, you're new to us. And if you're lacking, then Elton Jenkins, this kid's big, and he's strong. And, you know, it'll take us a time to get his footwork down to where we want to, or how he's going to handle with the hand-to-hand combat of a veteran NFL defensive tackle. But we'll just start coaching up this kid if you're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. So you can't have that veteran, I know what we're doing here. No, no, no. And so they say that Lane responded. They thought he responded in the game against the Texans, and because he was the only starter that was out there. They rested 26 guys. And in terms of talking to these players, Lee, I am not a stats guy. And that's an important thing about this. There's a lot of guys that before they go into the locker room, they prepare and they look over all these stats. And then they think they come up with an angle and say, well, here's where this guy's failing, or here's where this guy's actually kind of hot. So that's the angle I'll take. And that's very important. And I do some of that. But at the end of the day, it's like Tony Brown. Who wants it? Who wants it? Mm-hmm. Who's getting along with these guys? Who's taking notes? Who's driving his teammates nuts because he won't shut up? You know, at the end of the day, the Packers make a lot of cuts based on if you're going to fit in the locker room, for better or for worse. And that's the way they believe that you can survive 16 regular season games and get into the postseason is if you work together better rather than, well, I get some great stats, but I'm gonna hold up the whole team because I don't like my new helmet. You know, those kinds of things.
You know, Mike, you know, it feels like, too, though, Mike, that Brian Bulaga's had a pretty quiet camp, hadn't he?
Brian Bulaga's had a quiet camp. Equanimeous St. Brown has had kind of a quiet camp. And Bulaga, they keep resting.
Yeah,
you
okay.
Know, he goes like 4 days, and then he takes the third practice off.
Really? Okay.
So I don't know if that's because a knee keeps swelling or whatever. He was very forthcoming at the start. And the Jason Spriggs thing, and that's a good example of what's going on up here as well. It's like, we traded up from the second round, all that. Bulaga took off the first day in pad. So, hey, Jason, here's a great opportunity.
He's been around
to
long enough.
Snaps.
Yeah.
And the next day he's on the sidelines because he pulls a muscle in his back, and that's it. They're done. You know, this stuff always happens to this guy. I remember there was 2 years ago at the end of the season where he got his kneecap dislocated.
Yes, I do remember that.
What was amazing is that he somehow got through that without needing surgery, so he was able to get going in the OTAs and minicamp. But it's always something with him, and the bottom line is he never developed. He looked like the prototype for at least a right tackle. They really thought he could be a potential left tackle, But he just never got consistent in his footwork in dealing with really strong outside linebackers. And this Alex Light, this kid's improved in the last year, got his head down, and it's like, you know what? Give the job to Alex Light.
Let's talk about that for a second. Talk with Mike Clemens live from Green Bay, embedded up there in the middle of all this Packer craziness, getting ready for the next exhibition game against the Ravens. What about the depth of this offensive line? Coming in, I think there were some question marks from us here on this radio station. Have those been answered? Do you like the depth on the offensive line?
Well, let's start. I don't feel good about being in a big game and David Bakhtiari going down. I don't know who the left backup mm-hmm. left tackle is going to be. At Lane Taylor, Elton Jenkins, the rookie. At center, that's taken care of. They really like Justin McCray. And Justin McCray continues to work his butt off. He can play all five positions. He has in the last 2.5 years, and so they're okay there. Right guard, Billy Turner or Lucas Patrick, you're okay with those guys. Bulaga, and then we mentioned Alex Light. Mm-hmm. Adam Pankey seems to have taken a step up. Madison Cole, the rookie that they drafted last year, with I think it was fifth round, he's still learning. He's got some strength. He's a guard. He keeps snapping the ball over, the third-string quarterback's head, Wilkins. So they've really kind of taken him out of center. But they're going to see if maybe he could be a backup guard. And then there's this, Yoshi Nijman. He's 6'7". He's huge. That's, we'll be watching more in the fourth quarter to see if he's picking up any steam as a left tackle. I don't see him as a pass blocker, mm-hmm. but maybe a right tackle backup or a practice squad guy coming into it. But other than that, they've got at least seven guys. You'd like to have eight that I feel good about going into the campaign.
Mike, it seems like, and tell me if I'm wrong here, you're up there every single day, so you hear him all of this time. Just from what we've been able to get from Matt LaFleur, he seems like he has become so comfortable with the microphone in front of him that's one of the biggest hurdles that these coordinators have going from coordinator to head coach. He's responsible to talk to the media every single day. And, I mean, he's now having, full conversations with you guys instead of just saying, these are the injuries, this is what happened today, all right, I'm trying to get out of here as soon as possible.
Yeah, these guys, him and Brian, are still playing it close when it comes to injuries. They won't tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll know more tomorrow. The guy's been out 2 weeks. He's been out 2 weeks. But
that's funny. We'll know more tomorrow. Been out 2 weeks.
It was chaotic here last week with the joint practices. And LaFleur came in like, everything's okay. This is what we're going to do. I got my plan. Been through this. Understood. Anticipated. And I have not seen this guy flinch at anything. And so, there was a couple of games where, Holmgren has said this at the start of his career. Mike McCarthy said this, when you're 1-4 and a new head coach, you start hiding under the desk because you think they're going to turn in my key card. It's not going to work. And there were times that when Brett Favre beat the Packers in the Metrodome, on October 5th, 2009, as a Viking, McCarthy was hubba-da-hubba-da-hubba. He was shaking because he couldn't believe that he'd lost to this guy. He thought he was in big trouble. And maybe someone in the organization let him know. There was times where I saw McCarthy literally shake like, oh, boy, I may have just lost my job. I haven't seen that from LaFleur yet at all. We'll see what happens when we get into the adversity of the season and if he's 1-4. Which is, could happen, probably happen to a new head coach. But he did a breakdown of the film of the Texans game that went on for about 3 minutes. The stats were right there at at his fingertips. There's no notes or anything like that. And that's why when you talk to these players and you say, well, what's LaFleur like? And they can't really give you a real grasp of it yet, even though they've been with him for 4 or 5 months. But the first thing that everybody says out of their mouth, 4 out of 5 players, they say, well, he's smart. And that's because when he comes into the team meeting in the morning and says, guys, here's what we're doing. And, doesn't work from notes. He's working from tape. He's talking from his brain. He's talking from his heart. It's like, well, this guy's got this down. I mean, he knows what he wants to do.
Yep.
And we got to figure out how to be with him. And that's where he's with him. And he's cracking the whip on these guys on the offense particularly, about speed. Break the huddle, get up to the line, snap, get it off like this, and he's going to the whip like he's in the Kentucky Derby. These guys can never quite get fast enough, and that's what he wants. He wants absolute tempo in 90-minute practices, and the rest of the time we're in meetings and we do walkthroughs so that you're totally not thinking. And when you hit the practice field, when you hit the playing field, you're the fastest team in the NFL. That's what they're trying to get going right now. So today was kind of funny, though, when this chopper starts hovering over, flying over the practice field. And everybody's looking up and kind of elbowing, like, what the hell is that? So we asked LaFleur, did you see the chopper during practice today?
I did not. Was it the Bears send a spy to come? Where was it at? I'm going to have to get on Doug. We can't allow that. There's no fly zone right here.
He's getting after Doug Collins, the security guy.
Mike, appreciate it, man. Thursday, Aaron Rodgers will be in uniform playing, and we'll talk to you at 5:35. Looking forward to it.
First quarter. Thank you, Big Show.
Appreciate it, Mike. That's Mike Clemens. Thanks, Mike. Brought to you by Chili's here on the Wendy's Big Show. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.